doing exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, Lord. You got the power and you've given it over unto us, Lord, to make a difference. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that the difference it makes brings life, it brings health, it brings wholeness and soundness, peace and joy, Lord. And Father, I go ahead and speak your power over these people this morning. I know, Lord, it is your will for whatever's concerning them. It's already been concerning to you. And Lord, you are willing and have been to deal with it and to give them victory over it. And we thank you in advance for the lives changed here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Well, as I said, I want to talk to you a little bit about the last days. I'm just going to let the Spirit of God kind of flow. How many of you love the Holy Ghost?
Yeah.
How many of you pray in other tongues?
Yeah.
I want you to know you're going to need Him more and more in the days that are coming.
Yeah.
We are in a unique world right now.
Yeah.
How are you handling things today? Don't answer me out loud, but how are you handling your stuff today? How are you handling the last day's things that are happening? You can see the world's not like it used to be.
That's right.
You can see the signs if you've been in the Word. You can see and feel and know about the things of the Lord and how they're different now and they're connected to the last days. You often hear it said that we're in the last of the last days. I don't think there's any doubt anymore about that. Jesus is coming back.
Yes.
Your children matter. Your life matters. Your wife, your husband matters. Every relative you've got matters. Every friend, every enemy you have, they all matter. Jesus has already paid the price for all of them.
Yes.
And He wants them all in the kingdom.
Yes.
He wants them all to be able to go up when you go up.
Yes.
Well, He is coming and we are going up.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
We are going up. But how are you doing? Let me just ask you to ask yourself, how are you doing and how are you handling the issues of life? Now, we know what the Bible says. The Bible says that we are to put the Word of God in our heart and not let it out.
Yes.
For out of your heart where the Word has been put,
yes,
are the issues of life. That's what you use to handle the different issues. Everybody's got issues. The devil sees to that. Everybody's got something to deal with.
That's right.
You know, this is just like the devil. Just another issue that I got to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to deal with it. But you know what? I got to deal with it.
That's right.
If whatever I don't deal with will deal with me.
Right.
Whatever I just try to hope it goes away, it won't go away.
Right.
It's just more frustrating to deal with. And so we have to realize that that cannot come under life more abundant. To live a life where you can't handle your issues.
That's right. Right.
You can't be bigger than your issues.
Yes, sir.
That you have to do something that's limited and it doesn't give you the full victory. I've searched the Bible for you and guess what I found? Cope's not in it.
That's right.
Yeah. The devil would be glad for you to cope with those issues. Just cope with it.
Yeah.
Just do the best that you can do with it. It'll be all right, you know. You'll get used to it. I'm here to tell you today, God doesn't want you getting used to any curse that's trying to mess with your body, your mind, your family, your children.
Yeah.
He doesn't want you just complaining about it because that won't take it away.
That's right.
That won't take it away.
Amen.
God knew that in these last days there would be issues just like there's been all along. And God knew that He wanted you to have life and have it more abundantly. And so He did not build in some harassment for you.
That's right. Amen.
He's not willing for that to stay in your life.
Amen.
We must realize the devil is real.
Yes.
Flesh is real.
Yes.
And we must realize that God already pre-knew that and He decided to make provision for that so you don't have to put up with it.
Amen. Amen.
You ever had your kids give you an issue? You know what you told them? I ain't putting up with that.
Yeah.
That elbow went out, didn't it?
Yeah.
Some of you do that. My wife, she can throw both elbows out there. I know when to back off. When the both bows go out, all right, Donna. But listen, we are not to back off. God has made provision for you to be able to handle the issues of life.
Yeah. Amen.
The Word talks about that in this time that we're in, called the last days. Talks about how things are going to be. Even nations are going to be in distress.
Yes.
Can anybody look at the nations?
Yes.
Are you listening to what the nations are saying these days? Have you seen the juggling around and the hopscotching that's going on right now in the realm of nations? They're all distressed. They don't know what to do. They're trying things right now.
That's right.
They're trying to see if they can get favor with this other nation and trying this and trying that. Why? Because it is a real stress. They are distressed.
Yes, sir.
But the Bible knew it all along, and it said in the last days, the nations will be distressed. There'll be distress of nations, I think is the proper way it's stated in the Word.
Amen.
And so you got people that are nervous right now. You've got people that are struggling right now. People living in fear right now. I'm talking Christians.
That's right.
I wouldn't want to be back in the world by myself, no covenant right now.
Amen.
But we got people in the body of Christ for lack of knowledge are being destroyed. They have no fight about them.
That's right.
They don't have any fight. They maybe once had fight. Now a lot of folks don't have the fight. They've lost the fight of faith.
That's right.
But God is wanting to get it back.
Amen.
I tell you, it's like just pushing a button. You can get it back.
Yes, sir.
There's a button in there somewhere you can push. You can say, I'm coming back right now, Lord. I'm going to stand right up and I'm going to get right back strong in the Word.
Amen.
And I'm going to go from there.
Yes.
I remember, and I know you will too, you remember when they went in to spy out the land as God gave instructions to do that, and they came back and they said, all right, this is what we got. Look over here. And they had that big post, big pole, two guys, one on one shoulder, one on another, all them big clusters of grapes. And what did they say? They said, look here, this is the fruit of the land. Look at this. And it was rich and it was plenty. And you know the story, the two and the ten, Joshua and Caleb versus the ten.
That's right.
And after saying this is good land, that the ten said, however, nevertheless, we cannot go in and take this land. We saw giants. We saw how high the walls were. And we cannot go in and take that land. Let me read you exactly what was said. Verse 32, Numbers 13, 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land. No, wait, back up. Here's what Caleb said. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. He got them all quiet.
Amen.
Now he knows, and he's fresh with God. Everybody say he's fresh with God.
Yes.
He knows the status of things, and though he's seen the same walls, he was part of the posse that went in there. He saw the walls, he saw the giants, and he says this. He says when they start complaining and saying we can't go in, he says, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it."
Yeah. Amen.
Now you want to hear what the reply was in the very next verse from the 10? But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." It's just like in the Garden of Eden, is it not? The day if you eat of that tree, you'll die. You'll not surely die, the devil said. Isn't that right? God said, the day if you eat of the tree, you'll die. The devil said, oh, you shall not surely die. He put Adam and Eve between two voices. One was God. One was what? One was the devil. And they made the bad choice, did they not? They got what they believed for. They got what they chose. Well, we got the same going on here. We'd be able to go up right now. We can go up at once and take it. And then we got on the other side, we be not able. So everybody got to make a choice that day, and 10 said, we can't do it. And the reason the 10 couldn't do it is because 10's been playing games with church.
Yes, sir.
They're not spiritually strong.
Right.
If you look at Joshua and Caleb and their position in this thing, when they said, we are well able to go up at once and overcome it, you know what they saw? They saw like a picture frame. And they were in the picture frame. The enemy, the giants were in the picture frame. The high walls were in the picture frame. But you know what else was in the picture frame? God was in the picture frame.
Yes, sir.
He was right there and he would not come out because they wouldn't let him out. They want to, every time you have issues in your life, always draw a picture frame.
Right.
And you're in that frame with your issue and you're going to have to deal with it. Come on, whether you like it or not.
Right.
But always make sure you get God in the frame with you.
Right. Yes, sir.
Get Him in there, because with God, things change.
Yeah. Right.
Now, you know that Jesus said on one occasion, He said, without me, you can do
nothing.
See, you know the verse, right? Do you know the verse that says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me? But without Him, I can do nothing. But praise God, we're not without Him. We are with Him. And with Him, what? We can do all things, not by ourselves, all things through Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Now, in these last days, God is looking for people that's going to be people of faith.
Yes, sir.
Not almost faith, but people of faith, real faith. You know, you can't have pure Bible faith without three things. You have to have them all three. You have to have that believing what God said, that speaking out loud of what God said. And what's the other?
Action.
You have to put action to what you're saying that you believe. Amen. That makes up what the Bible calls faith. If you take one part away, it's not faith. It's almost faith. It's not faith. And He honors faith, not almost faith. But with faith, things happen. With faith, things get changed. With faith, miracles manifest. Amen. Yet that is just how wonderful and how big that our God is.
Yes, sir.
Now, let's go over to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 9 together. I want to take you... No, stay right there with me in Numbers 13 if you're with me. I'd like you to look at this verse. Let me give you a little context. Come down to 13:32, Numbers. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched of the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Just re-saying what I just said. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. Now, focus in. Let's read it together out loud. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in there. So who's there? There is the enemy in this context.
Yes.
Now I'm going to give you a statement the Holy Ghost gave me years, many years ago. And Jan and I, we've lived by it, our church lives by it. But however you are, look up at me please, however you are in your own sight up here, that's how you're going to be in the devil's sight, your enemy's sight. If you see yourself always sick every other week, every other month, you know what the devil does? He just lists it down. He sees himself sick every other month. So we want to just keep sick symptoms coming over that way to him. He'll receive it because he sees he's supposed to be sick. And so we'll tie him up that way. Somebody else has got something else. They see themselves never have enough money. Somebody else sees themselves never have no friends. They believe it. They say it. They get it. And that's how they see themselves. However you see yourself, the devil jots it down. He writes it down. He makes note of it. And then that's why you get those symptoms all the time. Because you said that's how you see yourself, and he knows that all I got to do is send the symptoms and they'll gladly receive it. They feel like they're justified to receive it. I knew I'd get it again this month. I knew this wouldn't work out for me. I knew. And painting a picture of something that's coming from their own sight. They're looking at the natural. You know, while you're looking at the natural, you're not looking at the supernatural in the Word of God.
That's right.
And God wants us focused not on our own sight, but on His sight.
Yes.
How does He see me?
Yes.
How does He see me? How does He see this situation?
Yes.
How does He see it? Does He see it that there's no hope? Yeah, I'm sorry to tell you, I know I'm God and all that, but you know, I looked at your issues and you've had it, kid. No, God doesn't look like that. God's already written down how He sees things.
Yes.
He sees you. Not coping. Everybody say not coping.
Not coping.
Conquering and overcoming.
Yes.
He didn't say cope with anything. He said conquer it. Overcome it. I've made you a overcomer and a conqueror. That's who you are today. As you walk with Him in the whole armor of God, you are able to attack the root of these things and have a breakthrough so that you get not only relief, you get a testimony, you get the manifestation of life more abundant. You got something you can't hardly hold back from telling to somebody. I want you to see what happened here. I believe God, like they said, to believe Him, and look what's happened. You can't explain those things away. God's been working miracles for us for over 40 years. I mean, good Lord, we've been saved for 51. Listen, we've been living by faith for 48 of those. First 3 years, we were in a denominational church. We had no idea there was such a thing as faith, no such a thing as authority, resisting the devil, baptized with the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues for all the right reasons, may I add?
Yes.
We didn't know that for the first 3 years we were born again. But boy, when we found out, we embraced it all. We embraced it all. And God began to move, and God began to show us that He was real. And God began to work miracles that we could just list one right after the other. He is a wonderful God.
Yes.
And life more abundantly is available to every person that has received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Yes.
Let's go to now to Deuteronomy 9. Deuteronomy 9, I want to give you of what the Lord was giving us when He wrote this that I'm going to read to you. He's given us a mindset. He's given us something here that He wants every one of us to know. Now, you're walking your walk, I'm walking my walk, and you can't walk the other person's walk. There's my part, God's part, and your part. And we cannot switch parts. You're not going to be able to do their part. God doesn't allow that. You can make up the hedge and stand in the gap, help along as we go, but you cannot ultimately do another person's part.
Right.
You can't do something and you'll qualify them for salvation. They're going to have to do it themselves.
Yeah.
Amen. So it is that important. But in Deuteronomy chapter 9, come down to verse 1, where we see this. Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day. I want you to say, thou art.
Thou art.
Thou art too.
Thou art too.
That means you are to do this, right?
Amen.
And when are they to do it?
Today.
Today, in this case. This is the day. This reading right here is the day that they were actually going to go over. You know, they had messed up so many other times through fear and disobedience and all of that, wandering around the wilderness for 40 years and all of that. Well, today's a different day. Thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go in, read with me slowly now, to possess nations greater and mightier than thyself. Do you see that truth right there? It is the will of God. It is true that God is expecting you and I to possess things greater and mightier than us.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Problems that are so much bigger than us, we just possess the thing in Jesus' name.
Yes.
We are to handle great and mighty things bigger than us, but not by ourselves, with Him. Yes. Let's keep looking now. Greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom you know and of whom you have heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? How many of you ever got embarrassed by going with the hearsay?
Yes.
You ever heard say? Oh, well, I know somebody that they was believing like that and they didn't make it. Well, I just heard it so-and-so, you know, they was confessing those prosperity scriptures and, you know, they took their car away. You can live your life hanging on the failures of others, or you can stick with the Word of God and watch Him eventually come through for you. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
But He's dealing with hearsay. You have heard about these walls. You've heard about these giants. Big deal. You heard it, but you don't need to get faith for it. You need to get faith for the Word of God to overcome and possess above all of that.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, how's He going to do it? He says, well, understand. Now, get that. I will say that to you. Understand this, church. Understand, therefore, this day, that the Lord thy God is He which, ready, read with me, goeth over before you, so you're not going first.
That's right.
Amen.
I'm afraid to deal with this issue I got going. I might make everybody mad. Let God make them bad if He wants to make them bad.
Yeah.
God, if you just decide I'm going to deal with the issue, God said, hold right there. And He'll take off first.
Amen.
I'm going to go over Jordan this day. And then he come on down there with me. He says, the Lord is He which will go over before you. And here is how He's going. As a what? Consuming fire. Read with me. A consuming fire. He shall
destroy.
He shall destroy. Who is?
God.
He shall destroy them. And He shall bring them down before thy face. Now watch this. Something looks a little odd here. Read the next phrase. So shall He. So shall He drive them out.
No.
Well, He just said He was going over first, and He was going to do it. Do you see the parallel?
Yes.
He went to the cross and came out of the resurrection. We didn't have to. We just had to be with Him. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Isn't that right? All right, He will do this. He will go ahead and deal with it. And He will bring them down before your face. So shall you drive them out and destroy them quickly. I like the quickly.
Yes.
You have faith for quickly?
Yes.
Quickly in the Old Testament. Speedily it's listed in the New Testament. You have the right to have faith for speedily.
Yes.
Don't have a mentality, well, yeah, I'm going to believe God. But while you're saying, I'm going to believe God, you, in your mind, you're thinking, so here comes a 10-year stretch. Oh, my God. No. Believe for speedily. Believe for quickly. All right? He shall bring them down before your face, and you shall destroy them quickly as the Lord has said unto thee.
Yeah.
Let's go over to 2 Timothy. Let's get some New Testament in on this. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll give you a minute to get there. I want us to go through it together. Look at it together. This know also, this is verse 1, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. You seen any of this?
Yeah.
In your world today,
yeah.
Disobedient to parents, it's getting disgusting on that one. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, can't maintain control of themselves, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power. Denying the power. Don't ever catch yourself denying the power of God. From such, turn away. From such, turn away. Now, many people have this mentality when it comes to the last days. Well, I know that in the last days, when it comes, we're going to have perilous times. The Bible says it. Perilous times come. We just read it. In the last days, perilous times will come. Is that right?
Yes.
But the wrong mentality is that the thinking is that somehow, if we rewind, we'll come back to a place where God is He's laying out the future of mankind, and he's working out all the details and how it's going to be. And then when he gets over here to the last of the days, over here he's thinking, and you know, right here at the last section, the last days, I'm going to have that to be perilous. I'm going to put everybody through perilous. I want you to know that's not what we just read. God is not responsible for the perilous.
Amen.
Look back at your verse. This know that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Keep reading. What's the word for mean? Give me another word for four.
Because.
So then in the last days, perilous times shall come because what? Men shall be, and all that list of stuff. So we're in perilous times not because God wants us to be in perilous times. We're in perilous times by bad choices of people. That's what's got all the chaos going, is the lack of obedience unto God and His Word. And the only result you can come with out of that is it's going to get perilous.
Yeah.
Disobedience always brings the bad side of things. Yeah. It always ends up in chaos, disappointment, tears, and whatever is on that list. But this last days that we're in, it's perilous because of the choices of people.
Yeah.
I do not want me or you to be contributing to that.
Amen. Amen.
But you know, that's how simple it could be. I could make some different choices than I'm making right now, and I would be listed in contributing to the perilous that's in our world. Because my bad choices, contrary to what some people believe, doesn't just affect me. My bad choices sooner or later affect somebody else. It's going to affect your marriage. It's going to affect your children. That's why the devil tries to start with a little bit of drugs. Mm-hmm. A little bit of crack, just a little taste, just a little this, just a little alcohol, just a little this. Oh, you don't want to drink no alcohol, you're not a beer and that liquor person. Well, try wine. Go with wine. Just a little bit. Just try whatever. And try to work it. Where that we are now contributing to the perilous that's in our world.
Yeah.
Now listen, we are faith people, is that right?
Amen.
According to the covenant that Jesus Christ has provided for us, we can determine certain things. And the first thing that we can determine is God is not behind the perilous. God is for you and I to overcome things that are greater and mightier than us.
That's right.
Perilous times. If you're making some notes, this would be a good one to make. These perilous times are not to diminish you one bit from your life more abundant. You're not supposed to have a mentality, oh well, you know what, I've landed here in the last days in the perilous section. And so I can expect that, you know, it's not going to be like it was in the great heyday on back with in the early church, all that faith and miracles. I'm just going to have to settle for just what's left now that I can squeeze out as a believer. That's not it.
Amen.
That's not it. God has nothing to do with the perilous. We did it. It's the same thing. God had nothing to do with the sin. Jesus had nothing to do with the sin except to pay for it.
That's right.
Take your sin and my sin, right? He certainly had nothing to do with it. It was our choices to sin. And it's our choices to disbelieve the Word of God and believe something else and therefore act upon that in faith and get bad manifestations coming and causing things all around the world to have to be dealt with. And nations are even distressing over it now.
Yes.
All the bad choices that leadership has made in different countries, different nations, plus just every single person. We either are contributing positive or negative to what we have to deal with here in our world. So men shall be responsible for the perilous. But it doesn't have to be the men and women in here. We're going to be responsible for the righteousness. We're going to be responsible for the love of God, the peace of God, the power of God, the anointing that destroys the yoke. Hallelujah. We don't have to settle for the consequences of all of the perilous. God is enough to rise us, raise us above the perilous.
Yes.
I looked up the word perilous for us, and it says this in the Strong's definition. It says the idea through the idea of reducing the strength. Everybody say that, reducing the strength.
Reducing the strength.
What strength? Well, it's your strength, the Christian strength. That's exactly what Satan's trying to do these days.
Yeah.
Is to reduce your strength all the way down, listen to me, to zero. To where you can't even function like a Christian should function. The Bible tells us, be not ignorant of Satan's devices, lest he should get an advantage of us. So many Christians, Satan has the advantage. And it's not God's doing it. It's choices that's doing it. It's ignorance that's doing it. They don't understand it's a device. Perilous is actually a device that's being used right now in these last days. And boy, is it working, you might say, for our adversary. But it doesn't have to work against the body of Christ that knows who they are in Christ.
Amen.
It means reducing the strength to tear down, to pull down. I was preaching this part not long ago in our service back home. And when I said that, Jan like energized and came alive and said, can I come up there a minute? And she came up beside of me and she said, I just want to read this. And I'll give you the verse right here. It's Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. Listen to this, talking about the end time with the Antichrist and all that's going on there. And he shall speak great swelling. He shall speak great words against the Most High. And listen, and shall wear out the saints. Reducing the strength. That's a good way to wear out the saints.
Yeah.
Reducing the strength. He shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. That's the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation.
Yes.
Say this with me. I will not let the devil,
my flesh,
circumstances,
or people,
wear me out.
But as for my adversary,
I will take the word of God,
and I will wear him out.
Amen. I'll give him a wearing out. How many of you have ever got a wearing out when you were growing up? You still remember that, don't you? How did the Bible know all this? How did the Bible know all these things? It would be right here today in our lifetime. We know the answer. But some don't. Some are just saying, what's happening in the world? It's gone crazy out here. That don't make any sense. How many times have you heard people saying that lately? That just don't make any sense. And you turn on more news. That really don't make any sense. We need to be involved in making faith. How do you make faith? You believe, you speak, you act on it in the Word of God.
Amen.
You stand up and you use it and you see things happen. And Nehemiah 8:10 that Jan stole from me earlier this morning. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. They're getting ready to have a party over the walls they've been building. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So what's this thing about reducing the strength? Perilous is what? To reduce the strength. Well, if the joy of the Lord is our strength and you reduce the strength, what's happening to joy? You can't reduce the strength. If the joy of the Lord is the strength, you can't reduce the strength unless you reduce the joy. That's why the devil's trying to get you wore out. No joy. You know any Christians with no joy? Why is that? Christians with no joy. No real peace. You know there's two kinds. The peace of the world and the peace that Jesus gives, he said. Well, there's the joy of the world. And the joy that Jesus comes to give us. The joy that we got as a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. It's in the list.
Yes, sir.
But I tell you what, you have an adversary that wants to reduce the joy level, therefore reducing the strength level, therefore leaving you like those who had to say, we can't go up against it. We can't do nothing about it. This can't change. It's not going to happen. We just can't go. We just can't go. So I have to put a foot down.
Yeah.
I have to say, I'm not willing to be stolen. I don't want my joy stolen.
Amen.
And how are you going to get joy in the first place? If it's the joy of the Lord, you can't leave the Lord out.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
I found in my Bible, the Lord is for church.
Yeah.
Attendance. Can I still have an amen?
Yeah.
Can I have an attendance on both? The Lord is for church and he's for church attendance.
Yeah.
What do you think he wants? Regular or seldom?
Regular.
Regular attendance. What would regular attendance do? Probably help us with the joy level, would you not think so?
Yeah.
You know, if you got joy here and you got strength here, the joy of the Lord and he's made us strong. Hallelujah. If you know, you can't have the strength to go down and the joy will stay the same. They're hooked together. If anything tampers with the joy over here and makes it go down, the strength goes down. So next time you are involved in, you just become aware that I just don't feel like much today. You can know there's a spirit of heaviness at work.
Yes, sir.
And if you let it go its full course, it's getting ready to wear you out.
That's right.
It's going to bring you to that frazzle that some of you talk about. It'll wear me down to a frazzle. I've had it. That's what the devil wants, you to go down to that place where you've had it.
That's right.
I'm done. I quit. I throw in the towel on God and all of it. Nothing's working for me. Woe is me. But there's no fight of faith in what I just presented there. The fight of faith talks different, acts different. The fight of faith fires you up. Fires you up. I was studying recently a little segment just on Fired Up. I got a granddaughter when she was real little. She said, "I'm getting fired up, Papa." I said, "Well, that's good." But Fired Up. And then it led to Stirred Up. And I got to looking in the Word of God. I found stirred all over the Old Testament. He was stirred to anger. He was stirred to something good, stirred to jealousy, stirred to whatever. And then when I got over to the New Testament, I think there's maybe just three scriptures about stirring up. And all of them were over there in the New Testament. And I noticed that they had a common thread on all three. The stirring, it says, stir up yourselves. Can you finish it? Stir up yourselves by way of remembrance. When you remember something, how can you remember it if it never happened?
Amen.
How can you remember if you never saw it or heard it? You can't remember it. Right. You have been making up stuff. You're going to do that. You have to stir yourself up.
Yes, sir.
It's a Bible command, actually. Stir yourself up. Paul was getting on them. And he said, "I'm not apologizing for stirring you up to stuff you already know. You have to get back to what you know, because that's the only thing that's going to work. Whatever told you, whoever told you, you might as well forget it. It don't work. We've all tried that. They're lying to you. The Bible's going to work like it's supposed to. Not one jot or tittle has ever been changed. God's not pulled back one promise and put it over here and said, that's the ones I quit on. I'm not honoring that anymore." You know, in our world today, it's not like that. You go to get some special thing that they were announcing, you know, a few weeks ago, and then you get there and, well, we're not giving that anymore. That run out. Our God is not like that.
Amen.
Our God is not like that. Our God is an awesome God. And I know I've got to quit, but let me just say this. Elizabeth, speaking to Mary, said, "And blessed is she that believed, because there shall be a performance of those things that were told her of the Lord." If the Lord tells her something, there will be a performance of it. Now let me ask you, what's been told to you of the Lord?
Amen.
Because He no respecter of persons.
Amen.
Listen to Paul in Acts 27:25, when they're in the storm and it's threatening to take all their lives and everybody's pretty well worn out. They've thrown out the tackling of the ship. Remember all that? That storm you rocked on? Paul just comes in and on board there. "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer." You know, water sloshing everywhere, chaos all around. "Be of good cheer, because I believe God."
Yeah.
Now listen to the next phrase. "I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me."
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said, "When the Holy Ghost has come, He'll bring all things to your remembrance." But He didn't stop. Can you finish it? "Whatsoever things I have said unto you."
Yeah.
I got to meditating that. I'll end with this. I got to meditating that, and Jesus, this is what He shared with me. I said, "Well, what is that?" He said, When I said, "Whatsoever I have said to you," He'll bring all things to you. "I'll bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I've said to you." That's only the things I've let Jesus say to me.
Right.
You keep a stiff arm to your pastor. You keep a stiff arm to the Holy Ghost. Don't let them talk. You don't want to hear it. You're not letting them say anything to you. But when you sit hungry like you've been doing in here this morning, thank God you got a wonderful hungry church.
Yes, sir.
brother.
Yes.
When you sit in here hungry for the Word of God, you're letting Jesus talk to you.
Yes.
And He says the Holy Ghost is going to bring back whatever I have said unto you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I preach one message right now. You know how many Jesus preached? He tailored this message to each one of you, however many is in here. You got your own personal message.
Yeah.
It's an amazing miracle that happens every time we minister the Word of God.
Yes,
stir up yourselves by remembering what God has said when you were listening.
That's right. Yeah.
Stir up yourselves when you're in that moment where you knew, man, Jesus just showed me something. Jesus was talking to me in that service. Holy Ghost showed me something. Man, I will never forget that. That's right. He promises you will never forget that.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Let's stand. What a good God. What a good God. I want you to put your hands up. Let's stir up ourselves right now. You know, the Bible said we can build up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Father, we bless you. We honor you. We rejoice in you, Lord. We're not going to let the enemy wear us out, Lord. We're not going to contribute to perilous times. We're going to contribute to overcoming things, conquering things, helping others, Lord, with their stuff, helping them out of their situations, God, and giving them the truth that sets men free. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this fellowship. I pray for everyone in this service right now. Everyone, whether they're going through a medical situation, sickness, disease, financial, you know all of the list, Lord. The curse is vast. But Lord, it's not your will for them to have to keep it and cope with it. I thank you that they get through it. They overcome it.